Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Right. Dear friends and family, we're gathered here today to witness and celebrate the union. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. This is the Brown Briefly, right?
This is it.
Okay. Hey, sorry. Okay. Here we go. That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less. He invariably always offered more. So let's dive in now that, you know, I got like my head on straight, and let's introduce the Brieflies. Hey, Truman, former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, kitchen remodeler, and former military intelligence officer, Truman O'Brien is joining with hands on the dials, buttons, and knobs of the control panel in Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. I've been off for 3 weeks. I had to kind of relearn how to run all this stuff again, you know. That big red switch is kind of hard to throw when you're not used to throwing it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you got the power on. We're all hooked up.
Yeah,
the communications,
we're all set.
Satellites are connecting. Everything's good. Yeah.
Everything's working. Yeah.
All right. The only difficulty, of course, is off course is Truman's airplane co-owner, and et cetera, et cetera. Craig Bellis was unable to join us. I think he is getting his credentials polished up for one of those career opportunities that he has in work. But in the studio, in Craig's normal seat, is and still inhabiting the Northern Hemisphere, historian extraordinaire, skipper of the Vachon, a president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, and our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Hallman, is here. Let me greet you with a fine Aussie. How you going, Bruce?
Doing well, mate.
It's all good, right?
And good on you for getting the beginning right, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, it takes some, we all make minor mistakes occasionally. Hey, I'd also like to make sure that we welcome returning small talk guest, Jason Johnson, the executive director of Vachon Household. Welcome back, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Absolutely wonderful to have you here. And also your colleague joining Jason today, Vachon Household Home Share Coordinator, Osha Christensen. Welcome to the show, Osha.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I am Kevin Jones, the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, still striving to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. Before we jump into talking about housing, let's just sort of jump in and check in with everybody about what special things you experienced this past week. Truman, why don't you give us a start?
Well, I'm not going to take Bruce's thunder, but I have to tell you, I had an absolutely wonderful time at the Heritage Museum fundraiser, and I'm sure Bruce will tell us more about that, but it was just over the top great. And today I've been filling out my ballot. Today is election day, so don't forget to fill out your ballots and get them in the drop box or in the mail before 5 o'clock. So only two items to vote on, but I'd recommend both of them. So there you go.
All right. Thank you for bringing that civically oriented public service announcement. Very super important. So, Bruce, hey, you've got a story to tell about how your weekend went.
Well, it was a great weekend. We Vachon Heritage Museum had what we call our spring gala, sort of the first one since COVID hit. And we did it at the O Space, had a 1920s theme. And it was, as Truman said, it was just a great party. And the Brieflies had a table there. So it was really interesting to have the Brieflies together in a social context rather than seeing each other on computer screens all the time. But it was a great night. And Jeff Hoyt just did a bang-up job. P. Munroe Smock, who was the editor of the Vashon newspaper in the 1920s, did a radio broadcast in 1927, sort of extolling the virtues of Vashon Island. It was an hour-long radio broadcast. And Jeff is recreating that, and he's going to do a full performance in the fall, I think in October. But he did about a 15-minute slot of it, and it is just hilarious. Oh, and yes. And Jeff gets his Centurion kind of late 19th century voice going, and yeah. and P. Munroe Smock wrote in this kind of florid Victorian kind of, you know, Vashon is the place where children grow up free of having to lock their homes, and they can wander the beach and the woods, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was just a blast. It was really good. And it was a great success for the museum.
And Cat Eggleston sang also during part of, which doing a poem, I think, that was
written. Right.
Anyway, all of that was just over the top. Very, very. And by the way, Dusty 45s were the band. And the band was fantastic, even though we were right in front of the speakers. We were down front. It was a bit loud.
It was good, though.
But it was fabulous, yeah.
And people were dancing until the band shut them down.
Oh, yeah.
So it
yeah.
was good. But thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Absolutely. A dance, a dinner, a concert. It was all wrapped into one fantastic event.
Yes, it was. Yep.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you haven't heard, in real life, the voice poetry of Jeff Hoyt, the vocal artist of mm-hmm. Jeff Hoyt. Yeah, you need to check that out. Yes, really, really amazing. Let's see, Jason, how is your week treating you so far?
Yeah, thanks. So far, so good. I over the weekend, I was in Northern California hiking in the Redwood Forest, and it was a beautiful place to reset. It felt very much like the Pacific Northwest, lots of fog and drizzle, but my goodness, you know, I often marvel at the size of the trees around here, but it's a whole different scale there in the Redwood National Park. So yeah, lovely time, joined a friend for her birthday, and she wanted to do some hiking, so. Did that for a few days. Mentioned to OSHA when I came into the office, my legs are a little wobbly from all the outdoor exercise. But boy, it was sure nice. And you know, that those kind of outings always offer a good reset for a week.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, you know, the snow is melting here locally, so you know, get those legs in shape for some outdoor adventures right in the Northwest too. Yeah. OSHA, how has your week been, or what do you want to share with us about how you were going last week?
Oh, week's going great so far. Lots of lacrosse on my agenda these days. And what excites me the most is the Vashon Vultures High School team is looking like they'll be headed to state again. It's exciting. My older son is on that team, and it's just great to see all these kids coming out and doing their best on the field and making it happen. So,
I heard a baseball coach once say, "Don't ever let your kids play lacrosse, because if they do, they'll never come back to baseball." So, that was the latest.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, something to look into, and it's probably is lacrosse. Yeah, I mean, with baseball, you can like bring a newspaper, you know, and a thermos of coffee, and take a nap, and you know, occasionally. Oh. But lacrosse, is that the same way, or is it a little faster?
It's a lot.
It's a really exciting lacrosse game. Yeah. It's very fast, and it can change very quickly.
Awesome. All right, we'll have to take that in. So locally here for me, we have the whole hierarchy of furry rodents now visiting the bird feeders to see what they can find. So the gray squirrels come by occasionally. The Douglas squirrels seem to be working to try to control, you know, the traffic. And it's, you know, if you've ever seen a Douglas squirrel chase off a gray squirrel, they're feisty. The chipmunks come along, and I think they kind of, you know, cut them some slack, you know, because they don't chew up too much of the bird seed that's on the ground. But it's great to see all the whole variety out and about as the sun starts to come out and the critters are getting back out and about in front of us. So let's see. Hey, one thing that oftentimes happens during these shows is Bruce will recount a look back in history about this time before we dive into small talk. But I just wanted to give a brief recounting and maybe some items that might be making future history. And there's quite a few of them. I was kind of surprised when I put a list together. So Tucker Carlson is out at Fox. Smartmatic's $2.7 billion lawsuit still proceeding. The writer E. Jean Carroll's defamation case starting today. A Fannie Willis letter yesterday tasking state and federal law enforcement to prepare and protect the public during the next scheduled Georgia grand jury session, in which indictments, she says, which may provoke a significant public reaction, are expected. I found out just today Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp announced he will not attend his state's Republican convention, preferring to rally voters in, quote, his own new organization. The Supreme Court rejected appeals from fossil fuel companies to hear charges from multiple states regarding industry liability for damages due to sea level rise and severe weather. And last but not least, Joe Biden has officially declared his candidacy for president of the United States. So just a few items to keep your attention. Yeah. We may discuss some or all of those at the end of small talk. But with no further waiting around, we all know that having a roof over your head is a pretty important priority for a sustainable life. Unfortunately, there seem to be fewer roofs to go around. Our guests today are working on addressing that very issue. Thank you, Jason Johnson and Osha Christensen, for joining us on Small Talk. And Jason, let me just start out by asking you to remind our listeners about your role with Vashon Household.
Thank you. Hello, and thanks again so much for having Osha and I here today to have this conversation during your program. My name, as you said, Jason Johnson, and I've had the great honor of serving as the executive director of Vashon Household over the past year. And, you know, Vashon Household is a non-for-profit organization, and we are an affordable housing provider and community land trust organization here on Vashon. All of the housing that we've developed or acquired and managed is for low to moderate income islanders. We are an island organization here to serve this community. And our Vashon Household has 88 rental units across 5 properties in our portfolio. We also have 38 single family homes that are owned by low to moderate income first time home buyers in 3 communities, Sunflower, Rosevallon, and Vashon Co-Housing. So we've got a history of successful work in creating more affordable housing options here on Vashon Island. And I know later in our conversation, we're going to talk about some exciting growth. We're really trying to increase the impact that we're having here on this community, and excited to talk more about that.
It is really phenomenal. And yes, we are definitely going to get into that topic. But before we do, Osha, could you please let our listeners know about your relationship with Vashon, how you discovered our island, and how you became involved in Vashon Household?
I grew up in Eastern Washington. When I was younger, I lived on Capitol Hill and I had friends on Vashon, but it really didn't interest me very much until I had kids. And I wanted that kind of slower lifestyle, rural setting. So once I had kids, we moved to Vashon into a funky cabin that was not built for year-round use. And I thought we'd just be there for a month or two till we found a better rental. And we ended up being there for a year. So, and that was, 7 years ago. I thought the market was bad then. Now it's gotten even worse as time goes on. So I'm really happy to be a part of Vashon Household, using my talents to have a positive impact on the housing market here on the island.
Excellent. Wow. And that lived experience can, I understand, that is so important to understand, you know, what's facing our community, right, in terms of available housing. So, Jason, You know, we do hear about that affordable housing challenge, you know, ever more frequently in the news. And of course, people who travel and visit in our, you know, nearby cities, you know, they see impacts very dramatically, you know, of some housing shortages. Who would you say on the island is most acutely impacted by this shorting of housing?
Yeah, it's a really good and important question. And, you know, really, anyone on fixed income, such as seniors, have a really tough time keeping up with the increased rents and purchase prices of housing here on Vashon Island. And really, you know, Vashon is part of a larger and quite unaffordable housing environment across King County, Pierce County. So it's, I would say it's especially acute for anyone living on a fixed income. Those income changes, those income increases just don't keep pace with the increases that we're seeing in the housing market. But I would also say that, you know, historically, Vashon Island has been a place that has been affordable for its workforce. There are, you know, teachers and baristas, there are medical assistants and artists who have long been able to afford to live and work here in this community. And that is really no longer the case. There are workers who are really struggling to find housing that they can afford on Vashon Island and having to move, relocate further away, commute in for their jobs. It's impacting the economy on the island. Businesses are really struggling to keep workers and are having to, you know, get creative about how to cover shifts, what hours to keep. And so it's really, I would say, the island's workforce and the need for affordable housing to support the island's growing workforce is another, you know, group of individuals that Vashon Household is really, really focused on. That said, anyone who is, you know, paying more than 30, 35, 40% of their income toward housing is going to struggle. And I think that that is many, many of our island renters are really having to throw most of their majority of their income toward housing these days in order to stay on the island. So we, you know, have a variety of different housing, rental and home ownership targeted to help support certain individuals. But I would say right now, the housing need for individuals on a fixed income, such as seniors and our island's sort of lower wage workforce, they're the ones really struggling to find housing these days.
Yeah, Truman, Truman, go ahead.
Yeah, I did. The question I had was, I when I was involved with VCC, Vashon Community Care, I know that we had a number of our employees that had to commute from Kitsap because they simply couldn't afford to live here. And we provided vouchers for them to ride the ferry to get back and forth. My question is, with the Indian Health Board coming in and taking over the VCC building, do you folks see an influx of new employees coming there, or are they, do you think they're going to hire folks from the island, or how do you see what kind of an impact are you going to see from that?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying that I'm, you know, excited to welcome the Indian Health Board to Vashon Island. I'm excited to meet with and be a partner with their executive director and their organization. But I have not sort of, you know, sat down yet and talked about or asked my questions about their operations. I imagine, and I imagine it's going to be a mix of both. They are a strong, you know, existing organization with talent in-house that I'm sure they will sort of, you know, relocate to this new facility here on Vashon Island. But I would also imagine that they're going to have to do some hiring. Yeah. And hope that they will be tapping into, you know, the great talents and expertise that exist here on the island. But like any other business, that is going to be challenging, you know, and they may have to sort of outreach to, you know, Kitsap in order to find the staffing levels that they'll need to operate that clinic. But I think I hope it'll be a mix of both. You know, they're, like I said, they've got existing staffing that I have to imagine are going to come over and start running this clinic when that opens. But I think they're going to need to do some hiring as well. What's great is that they are an organization that fully knows and understands the need for housing affordability. And so my hope is that, you know, once we meet and start partnering together, there will be strong mission alignment between Vashon Household and the Health Board. I hope that together we can, you know, be creative and explore ideas to get more workforce housing in place here in Vashon.
Right. Mm-hmm. I do, by the way, a recent acquaintance of mine said that they plan to apply for work employment at the Seattle Indian Health Board. So definitely the word is getting around. But as you know, as more employees are looking for work here, they need to be finding housing. So OSHA, you through Vashon Household surveyed Islanders just a few months ago asking about home sharing. What's the latest on the survey and what kind of follow-on actions are you anticipating?
So the survey showed that there's definitely an interest in supporting affordable housing on the island. It's clearly needed and hard to argue with that. Mm-hmm. But the idea of having somebody live in your home and the reality of having somebody live in your home are two different things. So a lot of people seem a little apprehensive to actually share their home with someone. And home share is a really long process, actually, of looking at different people and finding matches that are going to be mutually beneficial. So this is not like send us your application and we'll put somebody in your house tomorrow. We really take time to vet people. Look at people's preferences and their lifestyles and find good matches that are going to benefit each other for the long term. So
are there any, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Mm-hmm. No worries. I used to sell vacation rentals and coach my clients on short-term rentals, how you can make money with Airbnbs. But I've really shifted my perspective on that as I see what a negative impact they're having on workforce housing and just degrading the communities. So I really would suggest that people look at doing long-term rentals just for the community impact. And if anybody's interested in that, we have lots of people who have been on the island for generations, people who are working at businesses. A large spectrum of people we can fit into your rentals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are there any?
Can you jump in? Because I had a question along those lines. You know, in the 1970s, you know, because of agriculture declining, there were lots of empty farmhouses. And so it was a very easy place for people. And a lot of artists, a lot of musicians moved to Vashon because you could rent a house for $50 a month and, you know, have chickens and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We seem to have flipped that almost totally here, you know, in the last 50, 60 years. But my question gets to that concept of Airbnbs, accessory dwelling units, those kind of things. When looking at the 2010 and 2020 censuses, there's not much change in the availability of unoccupied houses in the census. And what's interesting to me is, what is the census missing? I mean, what is the data we need to collect to understand what those accessory dwelling units or mother-in-law apartments, whatever you want to call them, are available, and how many are being diverted into Airbnbs versus being available to long-term rentals for people working on the island?
Some of it has to do with the permitting.
That was my next question.
People who have an extra dwelling, and the county's come and said, well, you can't have anybody living here year-round. You're not permitted for this. But they can do an Airbnb because nobody's living there year-round, even though they've got somebody in there year-round. It's technically not a year-round dwelling. So some of it has to do with the permitting.
Yeah, that was the question I was going to have primarily for Jason. Is, I know that ADUs can be used here on the island. I'm just wondering how much effect you have working with the county on changing some of that permitting so that it allows these ADUs to be used for workforce housing.
Yeah, you know, Vashon Household is an organization. We're always advocating for anything, any policy shifts that will add more units to the inventory, especially affordable units. But I would say that, you know, on the ADUs, I'm really glad to be part of the Vashon Murray Island Community Council and their Affordable Housing Task Force. They're going to really be leaning into this issue of ADUs and short-term rentals. And so I think, you know, I'll sort of punt on my immediate response, because I hope to, you know, engage in this topic and really learn with the community about sort of, you know, what you just mentioned around data. I think there's a lot that's unknown. But also policy developments. You know, what are we as a community interested in seeing as far as, you know, increased density and the use of and development of additional accessory dwelling units here on Vashon Island? So I think, you know, that conversation is beginning, and I think the community council and that affordable housing task force is the right place for that conversation to be had. So happy to come back in a few months once we really sort of, you know, dive into that discussion and start coming up with some advisement for the county. Happy to share that at a later date.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. My question there is it, I mean, I've done an informal inventory, just, you know, going online, looking at Airbnbs and, yeah, you know, all the, I mean, there's 150, 160 of those on the island. But is there anybody inventorying that? I don't think there's any permitting process that allows you to get at, you know. So it seems to me there's sort of a data collection problem here. And how are we going to address that as a community?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I know that, you know, the census data, the community survey data is really limited to, you know, traditional households that are owner occupied or renter occupied, and don't really capture a lot of the informal and short term renters and Vashon residents that we know exist. You know, part of our reason for surveying the community when we were thinking about and considering this home share program is to see if there was even an inventory of unused or underused housing on the island. And what the survey showed was that there were people, in fact, a little more than half of the folks who said that they were a homeowner said they had space that they could share with someone else. And that could be an extra bedroom in their home, could be a unit above a garage, it could be some kind of mother-in-law unit in the backyard. But we launched the program because the survey sort of showed and gave us confidence that yes, there is an inventory on the island of spaces that people could share. We had to survey because there, like you said, there isn't good data. There wasn't a place that we could go and turn and say, ah, okay, there's this existing inventory. It looks like this. We can, you know, open a program at this size. We really had to try and glean that data from the community. So the survey was a good tool, imperfect tool, but a good tool to at least give us some confidence that the community was not only interested, but also had an inventory of housing they were willing to share.
Yeah. I would like to get back on that while we're on the same topic, back to OSHA with your experience and the people you've talked to. I'm kind of curious if you have like a portrayal of like the attributes or the situations that come up that create really good matches, you know, between homeowners and renters, or what are the things that are like the barriers that need to be addressed, right, or removed in order to find a good match? I don't know if there's any like things that come to mind for you that kind of resonate with your experience.
The cool thing about this program is it's non-traditional. There aren't any requirements to become a part of it. Many, you know, we do hope that people keep rents low, but that all the specifics are set up and agreed upon between the renter and the person offering the space.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way to get some of your needs met. Like if you want help around your place doing yard work, if you want help around your house, if you need a little extra care in any certain way. My job is to really clarify all the expectations between the parties so that we're setting up these people to have a positive relationship, and everybody knows going into it exactly what's expected of them. They don't get down the road a month and be like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Because a lot of conflicts can happen just by people not really understanding where the other person is coming from or what was expected of them. The clear communication is really important. So our home share agreement is part lease and part clarification for any expectations that may come up within just living with each other, or also working in some sort of a work trade into the agreement, which is a great way to give affordable housing and get your needs met.
Yeah, well, you know, there, of course, we do have an aging population on Vashon, and now we have Indian Health Board looking to find employees who are qualified to work in some level of healthcare. And that seems like a match made in heaven, right? For have a resident in your home who has those skills, just in case you as the homeowner might need some assistance. Maybe there's some interesting strategies that may come along in terms of that matching people up. So,
yeah, absolutely right, Kevin. And I would say nationally, you know, Vashon Household did not invent home sharing. It's been happening in organic ways always. Home share programs across the country, I think, are seeing a lot of success with that intergenerational home sharing, where maybe it's a senior who has lived in a home for quite some time, no longer have kids filling the rooms, has some not like critical needs, but like OSHA describes, needs just caring for the home, caring for the yard, maybe caring for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That person paired with someone who's in the workforce, who is around at night, can help with some of those chores during the weekend. It really helps someone age in place to have somebody around. It also breaks social isolation, to have somebody to engage with, have coffee with in the morning. So I think that's what we're really hopeful for. We know there's a aging population on Vashon. We know and understand, especially from our friends at the Care Network and, you know, so many volunteer and family caregivers that work on the island, that there are people living in homes in a level of isolation who have needs. And having, you know, someone to share your home with could be beneficial in so many ways, not just economically through rent, but socially, as well as helping to take care of your home. So that's the model that we're after. That's the model that seems to be successful around the country and what we're trying to replicate here in Vashon.
So I have a question about funding. And part of the funding question is there any opportunity for Vashon Household to be working with homeowners to perhaps help fund ADUs, these additional accessory dwelling units that they could add to their property, given that we have the permitting that would allow it? So is there any possibility of something like that happening?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I don't know that it exists now. And I'm thinking, you know, this would be a great role for the county to play. For example, the county funds the development of affordable housing. Mostly that comes in the form of you know, building multifamily housing or supporting vouchers for people to use in existing housing. But I don't see why, you know, our friends at the county couldn't also develop a funding program or a funding stream that helps support homeowners to create additional units on their property.
Yeah.
I also, you know, I think the county does a really good job with its home repair programs. And I'm really curious if, you know, right now it funds things like building a ramp or helping with a major repair on a senior's home. You know, a program like that could, you know, potentially broaden their mission to include building a unit where someone who's maybe a part-time or volunteer caregiver could live in order for them to maintain their home. So I think that's a good role for the county to play. And, you know, if there was funding made available to nonprofits like ours to help do that at the local level, we'd be very interested, but I just don't think anything like that exists at the moment.
Right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's jump into some of those new developments. Mm-hmm. And the Beachcomber is doing a wonderful job of stealing our thunder and promoting the great work that you guys are doing. So I don't know which of you would like to respond to this, but the Island Center Homes development received top billing, front page of last week's Beachcomber, right at the top of the page. What should our listener expect about that facility, and what can you tell them about that new capability you're bringing online?
Sure. Well, I'll start by just saying there's enough thunder to go around. We're really excited, and we'll at any opportunity talk about this new project as well as our recent acquisition. So Island Center Homes on 188th and Vashon Highway has been in sort of, we'll call it development, for many, many years. And unfortunately, you know, the pandemic was a curveball in so many ways, but mm-hmm. it really impacted our ability to get this project through the permitting process at King County. And, but we are finally through with that first phase of this project. Design, development, funding, permitting, that is done. So that's done and in place. And so we broke ground there, just had a ceremonious groundbreaking in December to really mark the end of that phase of work and really start moving toward construction. Mm-hmm. And so the community is really going to see a lot of activity on that corner, and probably already have. There's some work being done. It's mostly utility and land prep work at the moment, but they're really starting next month going to start see more activity, more construction on that corner. We are still on schedule to open the Island Center Homes in late summer of next year. And when the project is complete, it will create 40 more affordable rental units, deeply affordable. These are going to be targeted to individuals who are experiencing extreme poverty, These are folks who are former veterans or families of veterans, folks who have experienced homelessness, who have deep engagement with the behavioral health system. These are folks that really need a deeply subsidized housing. We're just, you know, so excited. We know that need is great on the island, and excited to have these units come online. It is an effort, you know. Construction is one thing, building the homes is really important, but we're also going to be conducting community outreach to really figure out who's going to get keys. While we're excited about 40 more units, we know 40 units is really a drop in the bucket when it compares to the need out there. So we want to be really careful and very intentional about who gains access to this housing. We want to make sure we're doing that in an equitable way. And that really starts through, deep and targeted community engagement. We have hundreds of people on our wait list at this moment. And I think it, would be very easy for us to just pick 40 folks off that wait list and move forward. But I don't know that is necessarily the most equitable thing to do. I also believe that this, rare and important resource is for a very specific population of people. We want to make sure we're serving that group. We started doing some community outreach already. We've met with leaders in the developmental disabled community here on Vashon. So just look for more information from us, from Vashon Household, out in the community as we try to really be intentional as we identify who the future tenants of Island Center Homes is going to be. But at this point, really excited to be done with permitting, done with fund developments and design, and moving into this construction phase of that project.
Well, I really appreciate the insight that you're giving us and our listeners into the challenges and the opportunities that you face. And I can see that there's a lot of thought that goes into the process. So appreciate your stewardship of that. Bruce, you had a comment.
I had a question, really. How do you assess the need? I mean, you have a waiting list, but the waiting list, not everybody gets on the waiting list, right? How do you assess the need? I mean, it's a really interesting sort of question to me.
There's a variety of ways we could go about this. Like I said, we have hundreds of folks on our wait list at this current moment, and our wait list, our housing interest list, it's really those individuals who know to call Vashon Household and let us know, sort of take the brave step to let us know that they need housing. Right. But we know there are many other folks in the community who have not made that phone call. Right. And as we're building housing for very specific populations, we need to engage those populations and find out exactly how to go about it. I don't think the process is going to be the same for someone who served our country and is living on VA benefits as it is for someone who has struggled with developmental disabilities and has had, maybe the great fortune of having some support from their family, but needs some long-term housing supports of their own. So I think those outreach, sort of the mechanisms by which we outreach to those populations may look different. But in my opinion, we need to start with the folks that are, we need to start with the targeted population and branch out from there. We need to hear from those folks with their lived experience and find out how to engage in a process by which they can participate and ultimately benefit from. So that's going to be our starting place, is really finding, leaders in these various different communities, as well as combing through our wait list. I don't, want to start from zero. I want to make sure that we're also looking through, vetting, getting more information from folks who have contacted us already, to see if they would be a good fit. But our outreach will really start with, reaching out and having discussions with those people we intend to serve. Mm-hmm.
I had a question, too, about back in the day, 40, 50 years ago and back into the early part of the 20th century, the population of the island would double in the summer because there were so many summer houses. Just where I live in Ellisport, there's a number of summer residents who come in and out periodically, but come basically for a couple months in the summer. In the past, those houses would have been rented out during the, 8, 9, 10 months, and then 2 months, people would move out and summer residents would come in and they'd leave. That doesn't seem to be happening as much. Is there a potential there to develop that sort of concept?
I would hope so. We talk a lot as we're launching this home share program about the unused or underused housing inventory on the island. I think it is hard when you're, as an agency, we are trying to provide permanent affordable housing. And the families who contact us, they are looking for a place to raise their kids, to have some stability as they go to work. And so the idea of temporary housing for us as an organization is a little outside of our scope. That said, this island does not have any emergency housing. It doesn't have any kind of transitional housing. So I think that they're, sort of what you're describing, I would hope could be put to good use. I just don't know if it's a good fit for sort of, what we're trying to do is really offer that level of consistency, stable, permanent affordability and stability of housing. That's hard to achieve when something's sort of seasonal.
All right. One other inventory acquisition we should make sure that we mention is the Islander Apartments. And I'd like you to tell us about that. But the thing that comes to mind for me when I read the article and the wonderful relationship that you develop with the owners who you acquired the property from, are you seeking to basically stabilize that housing inventory on the island? Or do you see that there's a possibility that that acquisition can allow you to expand the available housing units on the island?
Well,
or is there something else entirely?
Yeah, it's absolutely both. What you're talking about are the Islander Apartments right here on Bank Road and 96th. And, we were just thrilled that when the previous owners were considering selling this property, that they thought of us first. There was really strong mission alignment between the previous owner and Vashon Household. The previous owner had done a lot of really good, careful work to make sure that rents were low and that people had a quality, stable place to rent at the Islander Apartments. And they were worried, as were we, that if they put that up on the market, that rents would go up and therefore the people who lived at the Islander Apartments would be pushed out. Someone could develop them as condominiums and sell each unit. That was what was sort of in play when the previous owners took possession of the property. It was being turned into condominiums. And we know that in the sort of, home ownership market, even one bedroom and two bedroom condominiums are out of reach to most low-income islanders. And then, there's always the potential that it could be developed as something else, that the housing would go away altogether. So that, making sure that the Islander Apartments stayed affordable in perpetuity was sort of our joint mission. And that starts with making sure that rents are the low rents that are currently in place at the Islander Apartments, that those are held so that nobody needs to move. And so that was our first mission, was making sure that, we were aligned and Vashon Household wasn't going to come in and have any expectation that people moved, that their leases changed, that expectations around rent were different. We really wanted to create a level of stability for the 12 households that are there now. Now, in the future, what's exciting about being able to purchase this property without government grants, without any sort of government loans, is that we have a bit of flexibility in who we can rent to at the Islander. And we really want to be mindful and targeted toward this island's workforce. We feel like we have a real opportunity at the Islander Apartments as people move out, as those units turn over, to work in partnership with the local businesses and have their employees housed at the Islander. So that's our sort of plan in the future. But, you know, we just took ownership of the property less than a month ago. And our first priority was the stability of housing and rents for the 12 households that are there now.
That brings up a question that I had earlier. Funding. What is your funding source primarily?
For the Islander Apartments acquisition?
No, in general, for Vashon households.
Yep, it weighs heavily toward government grants and government loans. So we, you know, traditionally, if we're going to develop something, multifamily housing or homeownership through a community land trust model, we would ask the state and county to help us acquire land. We would also ask the state and county to help support development on that land. And so those loans are typically, you know, 50-year loans that come from our local state and county government. And those make up, you know, the majority of our funding. We also have some federal partners who provide rent subsidies to two of our properties, both the our friends at HUD, as well as with USDA. And so the bulk of our investments, you know, come from government. And, you know, I am so thankful that Vashon Household historically has been able to apply for and receive funding to build and manage housing on Vashon Island. I think, you know, without those government partners, we really would be in a dire position. But what we see is that, you know, most government funds dictate sort of who you're going to serve, what income level you're going to serve, maybe what specific population you're going to serve, like is true at the Island Center Homes. And Vashon Household and its board is really trying to work through and work with community to figure out how we might be able to get more private funding, either through individual donors or from corporate and philanthropic funders, so that we can serve this sort of missing middle, we refer to it as. It's really folks that are in our workforce earning between 80% AMI and 120 AMI. Those are folks that right now cannot afford to live on this island and have to commute in to do really important jobs in this community. So the Islander was sort of a first step and represents that it's possible for us to make an acquisition and develop more housing on our portfolio that doesn't have those sort of, you know, restrictions that come from government grants.
All right. Well, a shout out to those previous owners. I understand that is Deb and Gib. Do I have that right, Jason?
That's true. Yeah, they're incredible. Awesome. They've been such good friends to Vashon Household, and we're really, really thankful for them.
Okay. Well, those have been on the island for a while. Well, and those names will be familiar. And the Beachcomber goes into some more details about that. So let's see. I also, you mentioned, working with the county, various regulatory changes, removing some roadblocks. As we, if we don't all know, our current county, King County Council member Joe McDermott will be stepping down, not running for reelection. I understand there's two individuals who will be putting and have already maybe put their name in to fill that seat. Teresa Mosqueda and Sophia Aragon are the two names that I've heard. And they're making a presence. There's some outreach to the island to find out what issues are important to us. So there's certainly opportunities, hopefully, to share and bring their awareness up of these unique, or maybe not unique to Vashon, but certainly some of the challenges and opportunities that you're seeking. Let's see, before we quit with this topic, I definitely want to make sure you let our listeners know how they can get involved and learn more about your work. And Jason, Osha, any last-minute comments? What do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, if you have ever considered sharing your home with anyone and just want to talk to me about what that might look like, what our process is, have any questions, please call me 463-6454. You can also find more information on vashonhousehold.org. There's links there to send us messages if you like. We are here to support you and find best possible scenarios for these matches. So give us a call.
Wonderful. All right. Any closing words for us, Jason?
No, just thank you again. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. The housing need has never been greater, and we need to, sort of engage and have these kind of conversations in every space we can. Again, Vashon Household is an island organization here to serve this community. And please have us back anytime. We love coming on your show and really appreciate your time today.
Likewise, it's great that you have a chance to join us. And I do, I think I have an inside line here that Jason, you're going to be joining on May 2nd to come in for Give Big at 9:45 in the morning. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep. Give Brit Big launches next week, and we're excited to come in studio and talk a little bit more about Vashon Household and how people can support us.
And you'll be on with my daughter and me. So,
great. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, right before next week's Brown Briefly. So yeah. Awesome to have you. You can certainly join in. We just have another few minutes. And I'd like, Bruce, you and Terry Donnelly, who are definitely partnered up and bringing some very insightful understanding of our history, wrote a very comprehensive history of what we knew up until last week as the Vashon Community Care. Mm-hmm. And just last week, of course, you hosted Esther Lucero on our show to talk about their plans for the building. I don't know if anything else, Bruce, you'd like to add as that conversation goes forward, and anything that you want to bring to our listeners' attention about some of the items that are being discussed regarding that transition.
Well, I think the key thing is to have people keep an open mind at this point and to become educated about what the Indian Health Board is, what their track record is, what their intent for this facility is. And from my perspective, I mean, change is never easy. and change brings with it new challenges And I was in a conversation the other day, and what we've never done as a community, we've never dealt with the trauma, and I think it's a community trauma, of VCC, which was a tremendous community effort to get that funded and built, and then it just blew up for a whole variety of reasons. But, a new set of leadership came on board that sort of basically destroyed the relationship with Providence, and it went down the road of where with transactional age, and it just sort of ended. And that's a blow to the community. I mean, a community volunteers, community resources went in to make that an incredible facility. And we need as a community to deal with that and to talk about that. And I think the Indian Health Board understands that. Esther certainly understands that. And that's a community conversation we need to have.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that perspective, because there's so many things that when you hear about something, some change, there's so many thoughts that come to mind. And there's a lot of different players here, right? That some have responsibility for what's happened in the past, and some of the new players, of course, they don't. So kind of helping to sort that out, I think, makes a lot of sense. So thanks for bringing that up. Let's see, we are at the end of our time. I do want to say the next edition of the Brown Briefly will coincide with the final week of Give Big. So join us as the Briefly's interview leaders from the Vashon Center for the Arts and the Vashon Repertory Theater. So it should be fascinating insights into both of those organizations and what they do for our island. And so for OSHA, Jason, Bruce, Truman, and in absentia, Craig, I am Kevin Jones. Look forward to seeing you next week.
All righty. See you all next week. This